Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for that song, Justin. I sing because I'm free. That just made my heart so happy this morning. I'm free. I'm truly free from sin. Not that I'm ever tempted, but we have a Savior that is watching over us and helping us through. And what a wonderful promise. If you want to turn with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. This morning's message I've called A Father's Instruction. Before we go there, I want to share with you just a little bit of a story. I don't know how it is for Todd and Trevor and those guys, but every once in a while something happens during the week that brings back a memory from a message that we just shared. And so this week, as I don't know if you remember or not, my last message was on gossip or you know, sharing things that we think we've heard. And this week, I don't know if it was Friday night, I think we were going to go away Friday night, and Kendra said, I'm going to go get ready. Okay, so I was out in the living room, she went into the bedroom, and I heard the water turn on, and I heard her say something. And I'm sure I heard her say, where is my Norwex rag? But I wasn't sure, so I asked her, I said, what did you say? Because the water's running, and the kids are listening to Odyssey, and of course they've got it cranked up, and so she said, where's my Norwex rag? And so I'm getting on the kid's case. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, who would take the Norwex rag? But anyway, I'm thinking about this. And I'm getting on the kid's case. Okay, who took mom's Norwex rag out of the bathroom? And I'm getting on her case, and she sticks her head out the door. She said, I said, where's my charging block? Not where's my, you know, so it, just get the things right. She went to plug her phone in, and you know, I thought, well, anyway, I heard Norwex cloth, and she said charging blocks. So it's important, and we just had to look at each other and laugh, because we had to remember that sermon that I had just preached on gossip, and how sometimes we say, well, after it gets passed on a while, it changes. Well, here it didn't even, the first person hearing it didn't even get it right. So this was just a reminder to both of us that make sure you know what you're hearing before you pass it on. And you know what? Nobody knew anything about a Norwex cloth, but somebody did know something about a charger that was missing. And that showed up then when I said, ask for the right thing. And so it was just a tangent, but it was a funny story that there's just sometimes we need to make sure we know what we're hearing. Even if I was sure, I would still say I'm pretty sure I knew what I heard, but I didn't hear the right thing. So anyway, I cleaned my ears, and hopefully we're better now. Anyway, coming back to Proverbs 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9, a father's instruction. Talking about wisdom, and actually I'm going to go back, and I'm going to read. I think I'm going to do this. I was going to, for the sake of time, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to think of Why I was reading through the Proverbs again, and why was I wanting to read through this and preach through Proverbs? And I just want to go back to Proverbs 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And it tells us what the Proverbs are for. It reminds us. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. And again, it's just a reminder to me that we really need to seek out wisdom. And at the beginning of that is to fear the Lord, is to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to fear Him. And that is the beginning of knowledge, and that awakens that hunger in us. And again, it was just reminded that wisdom is not a once and done thing. It's not something that we find that we can read a book. I mean, this is the book we want to read to find wisdom, but we read it over and over. It's not that we're going to get it all at once. It's a lifetime of seeking. And it really stuck out to me also, and it's something that we're not to do alone. As we look at verse 5 there, it says, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And the older I get, I guess the more I realize the importance and the help of wise counsel. That why do I have to do these things on my own, fail and learn, and fail and learn, when I could just get a wise counselor to help me that I can listen to and understand. Not even in my personal life, but in business, I've discovered this is even more important. Finding someone else that has already done what you want to do is a huge advantage. Finding somebody else that has already done what you want to do. So the same way I think works in our spiritual life. Find someone that is walking in victory and ask them to help you, walk with you, and help them give you counsel to know how to live. And I'm sure they've made plenty of mistakes that they can share with you so that you don't have to make them. And am I willing to do that? I think that's the beginning of wisdom sometimes, is to know that we aren't very wise. It's the beginning, is that we need that wisdom. And I was intrigued, so now I'm coming back to Proverbs 4. I've always been intrigued with the question, why did Solomon ask for wisdom when God came to him in a dream and said, I'll give you whatever you want? Why did he ask for wisdom? That has always intrigued me. And as I was studying for this lesson, I think I have the answer or a good idea on why Solomon asked for wisdom. So let's go ahead and read Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to look at this. And I called entitled the message I've said before, the father's instruction. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. And in my Bible, it's with exclamation marks. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. We have here in verse 1 and 2, Solomon talking to his children. Hear my instruction. Give attention to knowledge and the meaning of life. And I give you good instruction. Verse 2, Don't ever let go of my law. Don't forsake my law. And the Greek word for law here is Torah, or the Old Testament writings. And as I read through here, I sometimes forget that I have the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. But yet, in that, they could find God. They could find the Father. And then he tells them, this is the same thing that my father told me. Verse 1, hear my children the instruction of your father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. And he says, when I was my father's son, so this is David talking to Solomon, and Solomon was young, says I was tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And David was following what the Israelites had been taught way back in Deuteronomy 6, after their escape from Egypt, looking at, and I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy. I'm going to read that. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 25. We're going to read and look at that and see why God wanted the people, why God commanded them to teach their children. I think it's a great lesson. Starting at verse 4 in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. See, this is, I think David was following the command that God had put in place here. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. We shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land, which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. And verse 20, I think, is key. This really stuck out. When your son asks you, remember, he had just told them that they're supposed to teach their children. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, of the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. I think we have here is what Solomon and David were following. They were teaching their children. And one thing we notice is that Solomon listened to his father. The other thing that we do know of reading Scripture is that Solomon's children did not. But we have an example here in Proverbs that he did teach his children. Hear my children, the instruction of a father. That's Solomon talking. The outcomes are drastically different from David's son that listened. He also had some sons that did not. And Solomon's sons. So doing this, teaching our children from a young age is not a guarantee that our children will listen. We can't say, oh, well, you didn't teach well because your children didn't listen. Or, oh, you taught well because your children did listen. There's no guarantee of that. But what are the chances of them listening if we don't teach? I mean, it pretty much goes to zero. And I had to think about it. So when our children ask us today, remember, they were supposed to teach for a reason. When your son asks you, why do you do these things? So when our children ask us today, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded us to do? What do you tell them? What do we tell them? We actually have been saved from a much worse slavery than Egypt. We've been saved from sin. We were slaves to sin and depravity in this world, and Jesus freed us by his mighty work on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. He defeated death and the grave. He brought us out of sin so that he might give us eternal life that we can glorify and worship him. He gives us joy and peace even in the times of great trials and loss. The Lord commands us to follow all these statutes and commands and to fear the Lord our God for our good that he might preserve us with him in heaven. Do we really tell them? I had to think about that. Do we, as I was sitting down here, do I really believe that I've been saved from something? What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful God we have that saved us from sin. We don't have to live in the depths of depravity. And as we see the world around us and we see the hurt and the pain that goes on because of that sin, and to know that I have a Savior that loves me enough, and am I sharing that with my children enough, that is why I follow these statutes? Because God loves us and he saved us, wants to save us from the sins of this world. You know, the older I get, the more I realize what the joy of the Lord really is. And it's not the world's idea of joy, where life is a party and everything is perfect. There's no hurt, there's no pain, there's no trials, and there's no death. But in all that pain and death, the joy is knowing that we are in the palms of God. He holds us in our hands. He loves us. And he's going to help us through those times. in death, it's knowing that it's not the end, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the best days of our life. And I shudder. And I can't imagine what it's like to go to a funeral where that person in that casket is your all in all. It's everything. They're your safety, they're your protection, and now they're dead. It's got to be the most helpless feeling. But we don't have to have that. That person can be our most loved person on this earth, but if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we know that that is not the end. If the Lord was there, if Jesus was their Lord and Savior, we know it wasn't the end. It's the beginning of a wonderful story. And I shudder and at the thought of not having the Lord as my Lord and Savior, as having Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm so thankful. And am I teaching that to my children? Am I telling them that is why I want to follow the Lord? Because He's saving me from this. I don't have to be discouraged and down. And it's wonderful to go to a funeral where we know the person has been saved and is in heaven. What a joy. We can call it a celebration of life, and it truly is. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Anyway, back to verse 3, talking about fathers. And I this includes mothers, but I think it's a father's responsibility. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. So Solomon was young when his father David was taking the time to teach him. So we need to start young. The sooner we tell our children, the more often they'll hear it. Repetition helps in remembering things. I don't know you, but if I hear things over and over and over, that's how I have to memorize things. I have to do it over and over and over. The younger they are, the more often they will hear it, and more likely it is that it will sink in and stay there. Are you sharing with your children from a very young age where peace and joy come from? Are you telling them the secret of life, that Jesus Christ is the answer? Are we telling them that wisdom is what we need to search for? Are they seeing in our lives that wisdom is what we need to search for? Or is it a job? Or is it money? Or is it prestige? Or is it popularity? Or is it education? What is the most important thing? And I haven't asked my children. I should probably ask them. My life example, what would you say the most important thing is in life? Probably don't want to hear their answer. Is it that they need to seek wisdom? And I want to come to a little bit why wisdom is the most important thing. Hold fast, verse 4. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. So not only do we need to know these commands in our head, you know, we can hear them over and over. Not only do we need to know them in our head, but we need to have them in our heart. We need to know them in our heart. Matthew Henry says this, except the word be hid in the heart, lodged in the will and affections, it will not be retained. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in order to retain God's word, we need to treasure it. It needs to be a treasure. Is wisdom the treasure you seek? We see in Proverbs 2:1-5, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. See there, treasure my commands within you. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. So as we treasure those commands, we will incline our ear to wisdom. We'll look for wisdom. We'll seek for wisdom. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When we seek wisdom, when we treasure the commands that God has given us, then we will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Treasuring God's commands is what leads to wanting wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Are we teaching our children to seek after wisdom, to treasure the commands of God? keep my commands and live. Going on there. Keep my commandments, obey them. That is the way of true life. And live there has the idea of reviving, or to keep alive, to give life, to nourish, to preserve, to recover, to repair, to restore. So keep my commandments and live, to be whole. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. So listen what he was doing. Listen what God was doing these 40 years. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you to know what is in your heart. He wanted to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. That's what God wanted to know. He led them through those 40 years to humble them, to test them, to know what is in their heart, and whether they would keep his commands or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And are we getting that? Am I getting that? It's not all the things that we do. It's not the money we make. It's not the good things that we have here in this life that make us live. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Looking at verse 5 and verse 7. We're going to look at verse 5 and verse 7 because they both go down the same path. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And it's with exclamation marks. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom, we talked about wisdom being instruction on how to carefully consider all the circumstances and possible consequences of something. Wisdom to know how to act in life, to know how to respond to what's happening to us in our life. He said, get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Matthew Henry says this, get this wisdom, get this understanding. And again, in verse 7, he says, get wisdom, and with all getting, get understanding. Pray for it. Take pains for it. Give diligence to the use of all appointed means to attain it. So do whatever you need to get it. Wait at wisdom's gate, Proverbs 8:34. Get dominion over the corruptions, which are your follies. Get possession of the wise principles and habits of wisdom. Get wisdom by experience. Get it above all thy getting, or getting above anything else. Be more in care and take more pains to get this than to get the wealth of this world. Whatever you forget, don't forget this. Reckon it a great achievement and pursue it accordingly. True wisdom is God's gift, and yet we are commanded to get it because God gives it to those who labor for it. And I imagine this is something I thought about several months ago when I started studying the Proverbs. Accepting Christ, I looked as the door being open to a huge library. And I love books, so this might not be as good of an illustration to some as us, but I love books. And to walk into this huge library that's just full of books, that's just like, love it. Love books. To know all the things, all the wisdom that's in those books, all the stories, all the experience that is in those books. And I had to think about it. Accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior opens the door to a huge library. All the knowledge, all the wisdom that we need for this life is opened when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But if you just open that door and look in, it does you no good. If you open that door and you step inside, sit down, sip a cup of coffee, but you don't open any books, you don't read anything, all that wisdom does you no good. But if you see the treasure that has been opened to you, you will read and research and look and dig through those books. And when a decision is to be made, you know, I don't know about you, but it used to be back when I would go to the library, there were no computers. Sorry, I'm old. There were no computers, and there was this big, I don't know, it was probably 6 feet wide and 4 feet tall of little bitty boxes in alphabetical order, and you had to pull out the box and flip through the cards. And if you knew the author or the book, you could find it that way. So you'd find the author, and then it would tell you where in the library it is. And I have to imagine that that's what we have with Jesus. That's what we have with this book. When something comes along that we need to deal with in life, I imagine pulling out that index and going, okay, how does God say I need to deal with this? How does God say I need to deal with this? We have all those answers right here if we seek after wisdom. And so I have to imagine this is why Solomon asked for wisdom, because his father told him, get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. So his David was telling Solomon, get wisdom. And now we understand, I believe, why in this dream that Solomon asked for wisdom. And I'm going to read one of those. There's two of them, but I'm going to read out of 1 Kings 3. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5 through 28. Actually, I'm not going to read all 28 verses for the sake of time, but read through there. It's also in 2 Chronicles 1, 7 to 15. And we'll touch on that a little bit. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him his son to sit in his throne, on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then verse 15 through 27 talk about the two women who brought the one live baby. And I think most of us know that story, and how Solomon had the wisdom to discern whose child it really was. And in verse 28 says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. And we see also, if you go back to the Second Chronicles account, it says Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before his people. And it says God, basically the same thing, but in that case, it brings out how God blessed him materially, which I don't think we should be thinking that's what's going to come our way. But he did. He said, also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. Can you imagine that? So Solomon was very wealthy. But he asked for wisdom. And I was in my mind asking, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? And after studying this, I realized why. His father, at a very young age, was telling him to get wisdom. At all costs, whatever you do, get wisdom. And so that's what Solomon did. So when is the last time you asked God for wisdom and understanding? You know, how often do we pray for strength, for courage, for health, for safety, for wealth? But do we really get it that all these things are the results of wisdom and understanding? All those things are the results of wisdom and understanding. Do I understand that? Has that sunk into me? That really what I need is wisdom and understanding. because those will give me that. They will give me strength. They'll give me strength to face the tough trials. When I have wisdom enough to know fear, to fear God, when I have wisdom enough to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then I have strength to face the challenges that come my way, the courage to face those things. Health. We say, well, what's wisdom, God? How are you going to get health out of wisdom? Well, if I'm wise, I learn how to eat. I learn how not to do things. I learn. There's all kinds of things that wisdom do for us. Safety. You know, wisdom is knowing not to drive 100 miles an hour on snow. So, well, it's not necessarily, you know, godly wisdom, but yet it is godly wisdom. I hope God made you smart enough to think about it, that you don't drive 100 miles an hour on ice. There's all these things, I believe, are a result of wisdom and understanding. So do we pray for that? Do not forget, going back to verse 5, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Sorry. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Wisdom is also knowing how easily we can be distracted and forget the commands of God. It is knowing how easily we forget the things we've been taught at home and in church. We need to be on constant guard so that the cares of life don't make us forget God's commands. Whether it's peer pressure, whether it's trials, whether it's hurts, whether it's sin. You know, we heard the story Friday night, whichever night, when Joel shared us about the monk. You know, he reached out to God because he wanted, was his mom or his wife, his mom, to be sick, not to die. Reaching out for the wrong reasons. We need to be careful that we don't do that either. When some trial comes along or some pain comes along, we let that overwhelm us and forget about the goodness of God. And wisdom is knowing how easily we can be distracted and forget. Matthew Henry says this also. Those that have got this wisdom must take heed of losing it again by returning to folly. It is indeed a good part that shall not be taken from us. So once we have wisdom, a good part of it can't be taken from us. But then we must be careful we don't throw it from us, as those that do forget it first and let it slip out of their minds, then forsake it and turn out of its good ways. That the good thing which is committed to us, we must keep, and not let it drop through carelessness, or suffer it to be forced from us, or let ourselves be wheedled out of it. Never let go of such a jewel. When we have wisdom, and so the beginning of wisdom is and of understanding is to fear the Lord, and we need to do that. Let's not forget that. Love her, and she will keep you. Love her and embrace her. As worldly men love their wealth and set their hearts upon it, wisdom should be very dear to us, dearer than anything in this world. And if we cannot reach to be great masters of wisdom, let us be true lovers of it. Some of us are going to be a lot wiser than others, but that doesn't mean that we don't strive, that we keep on doing it. Let us be true lovers of it, of wisdom. And what grace we have, let us embrace it with sincere affection as those that admire its beauty. Do we really love and admire godly wisdom? Exalt her, verse 8. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place you on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. And as we see this, this is what happened to Solomon. Exalt wisdom, and though she needs not your service, she will abundantly recompense you. Solomon was to be a king, but his wisdom and virtue would be more his honor than his crown or purple. You know, a lot of people, everybody knows Solomon for his wisdom. Not necessarily that he was a king. I guess they all know that he was a king. It was that for which all his neighbors had him in so much veneration, or that they admired him so much. And no doubt, in his reign and David's, wise and good men stood fairest for preferment. However, wisdom will first or last bring all those honor that cordially embrace her. They shall be accepted of God, respected by all wise men, owned in the great day, and shall inherit the everlasting glory. Exalt her. Exalt wisdom. It's what Solomon chose, and it's what he was known for more than his kingship. And David, having thus recommended wisdom to his son, says Matthew Henry, no marvel that when God bade him ask what he prayed, Lord, give me wisdom and an understanding heart, is what he asked for. And then Matthew Henry says this. He said, we should make it appear by our prayers how well we are taught. I had to think about that. When I listen to my children pray, Sometimes I think, what did I teach them? How well did I teach them? You know, we pray for safety on a trip. We pray for this or that. And we need to pray for the small things. But how often do I hear my children pray for wisdom or for understanding? Do our children know what to seek in life? Does our example show them what to look for? Just some closing questions. Are you telling your children by word and example that wisdom is the greatest thing that they can pursue? And one of the greatest things about wisdom is that you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be super intelligent to get it. It's a free gift from God when we seek Him. Some will have more than others. But when we seek wisdom, God will give it to us. Wisdom and understanding. So just a challenge for me, especially, and for you. Are you teaching your children to seek after wisdom? And why? Are we doing that? Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you for your examples that you have given us. Lord, once again, you are giving those things that we need, Lord, that we don't have to go through them ourselves. We don't have to figure out all this by ourselves, Lord, but you've given us your word so that we can know you, so that we can know what's important to you and know what to ask for and know how to live for you. And thank you for that. Thank you for your word. And I pray that we can teach our children, young and old, Lord, about wisdom, Lord, to follow you, to fear the Lord, Lord, to know why, Lord, that you are the great Savior. Lord, like you saved the people from Egypt, the Israelites from Egypt, Lord, you have saved us, or you've made a way, Lord, to save us from the great bondage that is still here. Lord, that is sin. And Lord, I pray that we can teach our children what a wonderful gift it is to be free from sin, Lord, to be saved from the world. Lord, help us to live by example, the thankfulness for that, Lord, that we have an opportunity to know you, to know Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Lord, that our sins can be whiter than snow. And Lord, help us to go, as we go this week, Lord, that we can share with our neighbors, Lord, that same joy, Lord, not just with our children, but those that we come into contact with daily. Lord, the great joy of knowing you, of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.